Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Sweet 16 Preview and Picks Edition for March 28th and 29th on the Big 12 Experience, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head over to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, use that promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus today. And we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their pick'em. A chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, NHL, college hoops, and more. Sign up today using that promo code TCESGPN to get 100% deposit match today. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, a sports betting research platform for parlays, props, and game lines. Download that Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. And welcome, everybody, to the Big 12 College Experience, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, Wednesday, March the 27th, on the eve of Sweet 16 action. That is right, we have reached the Sweet 16. If you're wondering who you're listening to, I am Moneyline Mac, and we're talking Big 12 basketball, which means I am joined by a man that's a walking contradiction because he was born in Provo, Utah. He's got family names in Iowa. Go Cyclones. And he lives in Morgantown, West Virginia. He is the co-host of the Ryan Rush Show, Rambling Rush. What is up, man?
Well, yeah, we're in that part of the season where the Cyclones family is getting most love. But, hey, good for them. They're consistent. I know we'll be talking about them soon. West Virginia news, too, Ryan.
Yes.
Reese. Welcome to West Virginia. Welcome to Morgantown. Press conference tomorrow, 11 a.m. Looking forward for West Virginia to be back in the tournament next year. Check us out at 6 o'clock today on the Ryan and Rush Show. We'll be talking West Virginia, having our buddy Ethan Bach on, who's really into the transfer portal here and all the updates that go along with that. So we'll be back in it next year. But until then, Ryan, we have some March Madness to discuss.
We do, Rush. And this is such a weird time of year. Just because you obviously got the coaching changes, the portal. Oh, yeah, there's a Sweet 16 and Elite Eight next week in the Final Four. I see the chat's alive and well. Asking where Colby is. Colby's not on the Big 12 Experience. Colby's got football later tonight, so you guys will hear him. I don't know if he's with CJ today, but you're stuck with Rambling Rush and I talking Big 12 college hoops. Real quick before we get into the coaching changes, Rush, let's just recap the weekend that was. And honestly, let's call a spade a spade. It kind of was a shitty weekend for the Big 12. I know they ended up with a winning record, but they were the higher seed in virtually every single game. So Houston and Iowa State were able to get across finish line. They were the two best teams all season long. Houston defeats Longwood in the first round. Houston barely gets by Texas A&M via the fucking officials that decided they were going to give fucking A&M 50 free throws. Iowa State probably looked the best, or not probably. They did look the best among Big 12 teams, take care of business against the Jackrabbits. And then they were able to come back from an early deficit against Washington State. Baylor bowed out in the round of 32 for the third straight year. This did not shoot the ball well against Clemson at all, 6-24 from three. Texas Tech laid an egg. They kind of were banged up and hit a wall at the end, it felt like. They lose to NC State. BYU, your Cougs were disappointed. We talked about it. We feared this because BYU was such a high variance team. They fall to Duquesne in the round of 64. Kansas, round of 32 exits. We said this was coming from a mile away. Gonzaga was an easy play over them. Kansas was able to get by Stanford barely after blowing a 22-point lead. Texas actually looked good. They lose in the round of 32. They roll Colorado State. And honestly, they gave Tennessee all they could handle. If they got a better draw, they probably would have advanced. TCU was a disappointing as well. They sucked. And you could see multiple guys have already hit the portal for TCU. Maybe they were checked out. They lose to Utah State. Rush, thoughts on the Big 12 other than shitty weekend, kind of below average?
I think we learned that, or maybe not learned, but it kindly just hit us in the face that this year in the Big 12 wasn't your traditional Big 12 year for multiple reasons. Obviously, you added more teams. You have two leaving next year, and you're adding even more teams. You didn't have the traditional round robin. And I think it was, we talk about this being the parity, the league of parity, the league of the middle class. Like, everyone's kind of just as good as everyone else. But maybe this year in basketball, it really wasn't. Maybe it was just Houston and Iowa State because, you know, Kansas dropped off. As we know, they weren't deep. Baylor was just kind of Baylor. They couldn't, once they kind of figured out their identity, they really didn't. TCU just, they got ahead of themselves, and you know, you have a bunch of guys hitting the portal. I'm starting to wonder if Jamie Dixon's coaching style translates into today's game. Cause I mean, he's kind of an old school coach, right? And you sometimes wonder about that, and you get to a point where it's this postseason. Does that start wearing on players? Texas Tech, with the injuries, it was kind of disappointing to see them lose, especially to an NC State team that had to win five in a row. But, I mean, good for NC State. Ending up against March, you know, end up against Oakland. And they went seven wins in a row to make to the Sweet 16. So, hey, hats off to them. Specifically BYU, obviously kind of my neck of the woods area. I think the mistake that was made there by Mark Pope was Khalifa. We know that he couldn't, because of Ramadan, couldn't drink water, him being a practicing Muslim. And I think Mark Pope, the way he should have handled that was, hey, you know, obviously BYU got the number six seed. They can't criticize or get upset with another religion for them practicing their beliefs. So they can't play in the Friday, Sunday round. So that's why they were the six seed, correct? But Mark Pope needed to tell Khalifa, hey, this is nothing against you. No one will hold this against you. You either can drink water and play, or if you don't drink water, you're not playing. And I think because there was such a one foot in, one foot out type of, oh, should we play Khalifa early, and totally changing your coaching strategy, I think you just kind of got caught with a foot in each bucket and just pissing down the middle there. And then Traore couldn't make a layup to save his life, a shot he's made all season. We saw him make it in Morgantown. So it just no production from the big man. And that's where BYU fell short there. Texas, I think, was impressive. It just, you know, Tennessee just ended up beating them. And, you know, we're stuck with, not even stuck with, we got just the top two teams from the Big 12, and it just ended up being a very rich get richer, poor get poor type of Big 12 season that it is. And hey, but these two teams are very capable of being in the Final Four, hell, even meeting each other in the national championship game. I think Houston, what they had to go through to beat Texas A&M, in which, you know, we know how that game went. We saw a similar game with West Virginia women's the other night against Caitlin Clark, and that's another story for another time. To come back with that type of resiliency, usually you need that one oomph to get you to that national championship, right? It literally is survive in advance. Ask Houston, survive in advance. NC State's the one who beat the whole survive in advance, like five slammage.
Yep.
But maybe this is finally, like, decades later, Houston survive in advance moment too. So we'll see, man. But hey, you're left with the best two teams, and they really were the best two teams. And it's just, it kind of just ended up hitting us in the face.
I would say if Houston was in the American, they would have lost that game. Kelvin Sampson talked about it, where he reminded his guys, he's like, dude, this is Baylor all over again, where they blew that fucking Baylor game. They were up by 20 at half. Baylor came all the way back, tied it. They hit the buzzer beater, but it didn't count. So I think Houston being in the Big 12 really did get them over the hump in that game, just being more battle-tested. Because I felt like over the last couple of years, they didn't really win any close games in the dance. It was always blowouts, and as soon as they fell behind, they kind of petered out. Miami last year, I feel like being in the Big 12, they've been hit with some more adversity. They're more ready for March Madness. And I think it's your connection, by the way, man, because I got it on the TV in the background, and I don't see Rush or I freezing. So you may want to reboot. So if anybody else has issues with the connection, let us know. But mine's working on my end. Back to what I was saying, Iowa State in Houston, they separated themselves from the other teams because of how elite they are on the defensive end, in my opinion. We talked about it Baylor all year, man. I felt like they were playing good ball, but in the back of my mind, I always like, if they have a bad night shooting, can they win with that defense? And the answer was no. I mean, to go 6-24, to miss 10 free throws, 3 front ends of the 1-1, even with as bad as they played against Clemson, and Clemson played well. Clemson deserved to win the game. Baylor had 2 free throws with Jacoby Walter, who's an 82% free throw shooter, and he misses both. It's like, come on, Baylor.
Yeah, we saw that against Iowa State at Baylor earlier this season, cover the game. This actually is a theme we've seen all year with Baylor. Yeah, I think what we learn in March Madness, especially the first weekend, right, is if you can make your shots, and that's like, no shit if you make your shots, but people know what I mean. If you make your shots, you can outscore and move on to the Sweet 16, if that's your style of play. But kind of that round and the round of 32 going into the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, I think the reason this is the weekend coming up where, the cream starts rising to the top is this is where the defense steps in. Like we're going to see a game here or there where you can outscore your opponent, but you can only outscore your opponent so long. And that was my concern. I mean, with BYU too, right? Yeah. Those threes ain't hitting, which while, the Mark Pope kind of coaching decision, Traore, that was probably why they lost to Duquesne. But dude, I do have concerns if you are a 3-point shooting team this time of year. You get tired quicker, especially if you don't have the Houston type defense. Around that Houston type defense. I mean, their defense is elite. I mean, there's only so many of those defenses. It may be the best, but it's definitely one of the best. And I think this is that time of year where you can outscore opponents to get you to the Sweet 16, but then you just kind of face what you are. And when you get to that last 2 minute and it's make a stop time, who's going to make that stop? And so far, I mean, that's why Houston and Iowa State are in it, like you said earlier, is because those are teams that can make stops. And I think there's an argument to be made that these rest of the 12 Big 12 schools, they couldn't. I mean, I think that's what this league, I think that's what it comes down to is, you can have a TCU beat a Baylor, in January, February, but when it gets to crunch time, this is then what it becomes. You become your identity. This is who, for the line, you are what we thought you were. And that's what we're getting here. Disappointed, yes. I also think we're used to a higher level of the Big 12 than we usually are to see. And I'll be curious how it goes next year with 16 teams. Obviously, one of those teams being Arizona. Hey, Colorado did pretty well too. So that's good to see.
Very well.
The strength in, because you're kind of getting Texas and Oklahoma leaving, and you're trading it for 2 more schools that can make the tournament there. So, but you are going to have, this isn't the traditional round robin anymore. And so it is going to be inflated a bit. It is going to be watered down. The days of, and that's kind of what made the Big 12 beautiful, right? Of college, right? You played all your opponents. You just switched off every year on where you would go. And then basketball was a true round robin. And, that's one side effect of conference realignment and where we're headed. While we're both really excited for the new Big 12, you kind of do miss that round robin format. And I think
oh yeah,
this is why you only have 2 of the 16 Big 12 teams too.
Yeah, and I mean, the whole thing of surviving this tournament is you just got to get out of the first weekend. And if you can get out of the first weekend, like you said, the cream rises to the top. Usually, if you could just survive, you're going to be playing like an 11 or 12 seed. There's only one double-digit seed. This was kind of a rare year. So, it, but yeah, I mean, I don't think the Big 12 was overrated. I think they deserved every single one of their bid. If anything, I thought they should have got Oklahoma in, but I understood why they didn't get in. But I mean, I would like to see them do a little bit better. I'd like another Sweet 16 team. But I mean, hey, if they put two in the Final Four and they're getting Arizona and Colorado, they're upgrading their league. Colorado and Utah is in the Final Four of the NIT right now. They're upgrading their league when Texas and Oklahoma leave and you bring in Arizona, who could win the national championship this year. Colorado, who's got as much talent, Utah, and then Arizona State's a fucking wild card. I can't tell you about them.
And you'll have better Cincinnati and Central Florida programs too with a year under. I think the question that really got answered to sum this all up, Ryan, is we kept asking on this show, right, who's the third best team in this league? And we kind of figured there really wasn't one. It just depended on the night. And the really the two teams are Houston and Iowa State. And I would love that matchup rematch for a national championship. That would be fantastic. Hopefully we can get there. That would be pretty incredible. But it just depended on the night for who was the third best team in the conference. And the top two were in the round of 16.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting going forward. So real quick, let's hit an ad break and then we will talk coaching changes and some portal news. And then we'll dive into the two Big 12 matchups and the honorary Big 12 member, Arizona Wildcats. Because
we'll take it.
You know, the rich get richer. We'll take the Wildcats. I wish we could claim their victories this year. But hey, at least all the revenue goes to Washington State and Oregon State the more they win. So we're brought to you by SGPN Network. Radio, baby. And if you're listening to the College Experience, SGPN is home to 20 plus gambling podcasts, all completely free. And in honor of March Madness, this week's featured shows are sports gambling podcasts with the flagship SGPN, hosted by Ryan Real Money Kramer and Sean Sack in the Money Green, where the guys have picked every single tournament game since 2012 and the NFL, too. The NFL will be here before you know it. And of course, College Basketball Experience with yours truly, Pick Dundee and Noah LeBaron-Bienick over there. You know, we've picked every game all year, so we're at the home stretch. It's a little sad that it's coming to an end, but don't worry. We got you covered in the offseason that we'll be rolling out. So make sure to subscribe to all the channels over at the Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience as well, the FCS Experience. But make sure you subscribe to all channels. It really helps out the network, and there's a lot of good content going on over at SGPN Network. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based, available in 40 states. Head-to-head, yeah, put your money where your mouth is. Say, fuck Duke, and you want to bet on Houston, get on over there. Do it at Cut. And they handle the payment side of things. You got group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, profiles, fan groups. Get cash every single time you bet against your friends and put your money where your mouth is. Kind of teased that, which side I like, Cougars. So download the Cut today in the App Store or go to KUTT.com and then set promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus today. And we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, and the promo code is TCESGPN. Easiest way to play alongside your fantasy sports all season long with cash. We don't have Troy here, but I'm going to look at a higher. I don't know if these are out yet for Friday night, but I'm going to look at a lower for Filipowski points and rebounds going against that physical Cougars defense. And then on the Iowa State side of things, give me the higher on Gilbert. I think Gilbert's been playing really well. So let's go get on over there. Promo code TCESGPN. And Underdog's been great. We don't have Troy here today. He's got a conflict, but he's been giving out winners left and right. Follow his Twitter handle at Troy Tuning, and he'll tweet out his Underdog plays. Underdog Fantasy, promo code TCESGPN. All righty. We are back on the Big 12 College Experience. Shout out to the chat, Matt, asking questions. We're going to get to the games here and some predictions here in a minute. But first, let's talk a little coaching changes in the league. DeVries. Mr. DeVries from the Drake Bulldog.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hogs coming to Morgantown. By the way, I see Matt in the chat saying that they don't allow player props. Did you see that our lovely NCAA commissioner wants to cut off props for players now?
I mean, this is where we're headed. And I think, well, the issue is too, what I think that's what the NCAA is doing to counteract the whole making it easier on the refs, because the refs have just been atrocious. I mean, especially on the women's side of things, we saw it with that West Virginia Iowa game. For all those who watched that rig job on Monday night, I think this is the way the NCAA is counteracting when refs make horrible calls. At least it's,
yeah,
you got player props out of it, so you can't continue to blame the refs. Because that's the thing with how big gambling's getting. I don't think people understand this enough. There will come a time where they'll be like this. Something bad will happen to a ref because they made an awful call and someone lost a lot of money. Like, that's why they need to be held accountable. And that's what I think this is. I mean, I think it's the NCAA being the NCAA. Give it a couple years, it won't even matter, this ruling. But I think it's trying to make life a little easier on the refs, if I'm reading between the lines correctly, Ryan.
Or I think it's with the Iowa State thing earlier in the year. And then obviously you got this thing with Otani. You got the thing with the guy from Toronto. So you got some different shit. I don't know. It is what it is. I mean, it's still going to happen.
It's just, there's,
there's other ways to get around it, but I guess they're just trying to check the box. So, but anyway, back to what's important. Darren DeVries coming over from Drake. He was the head coach at Drake for 7 years. Go check out our in-depth breakdown of the DeVries hire over at the Ryan and Rush Show, where we cover West Virginia sports. But just to recap, Darren DeVries, 150-55, 73% winning percentage in the Missouri Valley, 78-33, 3 NCAA tournaments. We like the hire, to sum it up.
Love the hire.
Good fit.
Fantastic
fit. And his son is in the portal, and his son will be the first piece. That does help that a 2-time Missouri Valley Player of the Year is going to come. And then I don't know if you've seen the news today, Rush. Basically, the whole Drake team is hitting the portal. The latest one being Connor Enright, obviously Kevin Overton as well, the freshman, and then Aten Wright, the guard. So I would assume that all those guys are going to come over and become the West Virginia Bulldogs.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Let's go West Virginia Bulldogs, baby. Hey, coming in, make a nice, young, new culture. We'll be back at 6 o'clock on the Ryan and Rush Show with our friend Ethan Bach as well to really break down the transfer portal and talk about coach even more. But I think players aside and in the culture that he's coming in to bring, one thing that I am really excited about DeVries bringing to West Virginia is his knowledge of the Midwest in Iowa. Because, yeah. I mean, Iowa State, Big 12, right? I guarantee he knows Iowa State very well. And he knows Midwest culture. And I think even with in, you know, the conference expansion world, knowing the Midwest well is still a very important thing in the Big 12. And that is something, I mean, we're figuring it out. I mean, but obviously with Huggins, like, you, that's not on him. He was the right, like, that was a Big East guy, right? And became the Big 12, but we haven't had that, like, kind of Big 12 figure yet. And I yeah. think DeVries and West Virginia is a perfect partnership for that. And I'm really excited about the culture that he's going to create. I'm looking forward to his presser tomorrow at 11 a.m. And while there might be some growing pains, and I'm okay with that, I think we've accepted that, Ryan. I mean, it also can't get worse than this past year. At least hopefully the problems just come on the basketball court coming up this year. And it's not more than basketball court issues. You know, it may take 2 years to get to the tournament. Good thing transfer portal, you can turn it around quickly, but maybe that's not what we want either. Cause I think there is a weight to, you brought up the Missouri example in the past, right? Where Missouri didn't even win an SEC game this year. Last year, they made the tournament. Sometimes there is an issue of trying to get back in the tournament right away, where the next thing you know, all your long-term plans are shot for. So I think you and me both agree that we need this to be more about culture and building the foundation than returning to the tournament right away.
Yeah. And I think you can do both, like you said. I think you can do what Iowa State did, where you can be in as like a 10 or 11. It helps that you can kill two birds with one stone by getting your best player as your son, but also he's going to be a good culture piece. If anybody knows their dad, knows DeVries better, it's going to be his own son. You see that with Underwood's son at Illinois. He brought him over from Stephen F. Now he was a GA. Now he's an assistant coach. So it's invaluable having a guy that knows you, but also is a player. He can relate to the locker room. Hurley's
an NBA player.
Yeah, and he's your best player. So you coach your son the hardest, set the tone each and every day. Some of the best coaches in the game have their son on their team. Izzo, Hurley, they help break down that barrier between coach, locker room. So,
hey, Monmouth.
Yeah, my dad might be a little fucking insane, but this is what he means. I got you. We're good. Stuff like that. Like,
I live with him. You just have to deal with him at practice a couple hours a day. I actually live with the guy. If I could let you know that mentality. Yeah, there is something about the father-son duo. And I think that's a great added benefit to him coming. And I think that shows, you know, Ren Baker, how much we love him as an AD and know that he's the right guy here. Always thinking outside the box. And obviously we're his girl's basketball hire, Mark Kellogg, was fantastic. We just saw it. So yeah, I think this is another just, I mean, you don't know technically till we see what happens, but I think everyone around us is very happy with this hire. So just going to see who he brings in from a player standpoint and personnel standpoint, and the new era of West Virginia basketball begins.
Yep. I hope we build it like Iowa State. That's what I keep saying. I hope we build it. And I know Otzelberger and DeVries are friends. Year one, I hope we turn it around and we get around 19, 20 wins, sneak in the tournament, maybe win a game, maybe get to the Sweet 16 like NC State. You never fucking know. Year two, you sustain. Year three, you fucking contend. You still got to build that culture. I know everybody just wants a fucking quick fix and all that, but I think we got the right guy, like you said. One other job that's open in the Big 12 is the Oklahoma State job. Mike Boyden obviously was there for, 7 years before being dismissed in recent weeks. He was really classy on the way out. I know we didn't have a chance to dive into it because it got buried, but Mike Boyden's a good guy, and this is going to be an intriguing job because at the end, you couldn't even recognize the amount of empty seats in that arena. So I think they need more of a splash hire. I think a guy like Will Wade would fit Oklahoma State. go back to a little dirty Oklahoma State. But hey, you know, dirty nowadays isn't even dirty with the shit that's going on. What are your thoughts? I know Steve Alford from Nevada has been linked there. Who else has been? Schwartz was linked there from Indiana State, but it sounds like he's basically signed his contract at St. Louis. They're waiting for the NIT to end. Lutz from Western Kentucky before Corpus Christi is rumored. What's your thoughts on this Oklahoma State job, Rush?
I don't know how realistic it is, but I think Will Wade's the type of guy you want there. A name, a little dirt, never hurts. You need the basketball version of Gundy. And I think that's him. There's still a lot of great coaching candidates out there. And you got to think, I know we don't have Troy on, but from everything I've observed and what Troy's talked about with Oklahoma State, we know, like most schools, that basketball is secondary. But I think basketball at Oklahoma State is like very secondary. We've seen it even with Oklahoma. I think it's a state thing and that kind of part of the country thing, right? It's kind of that Texas, Oklahoma. It's like football and all resources need to go that first. If there's anything left over, yeah, let's make a little money with some basketball. But we've seen, you know, some, you know, Marcus Smart, Oklahoma, like we've seen some great alumni from the Oklahoma State program. And when that place is popping, like, I know you've shared stories about when you were a video coordinator or whatever position you were on the staff going there and playing Oklahoma State. It's a fun environment. And I think that is a stadium that needs to be full or, you know, at least full for the big games. I know dynamics have changed, but I would love Will Wade there. I want West Virginia to be the best in the Big 12, win year after year, but I also want a competitive Big 12. And I want to see these traditional Big 12 teams that we've been around for a while now, so long, do well and be successful. Because, you know, they may get you on the court here and there, but it's still a better look to have a stronger conference, and it still benefits West Virginia in the long run, or whatever school you cheer for in the Big 12, to have a strong Oklahoma State basketball program. Because we talked about it too, Ryan, your mark, when it comes due, maybe selling the football rights differently from the basketball rights. Yep. And if you're selling those basketball rights separately and you're like, we are the best conference, you need to make the point that every year after year, every one of your teams has the potential to make the tournament. And I think the Big 12 is really the only conference that can say that. Maybe next year with the way we're going. But for the most part, you get what I mean. And so we need a good Oklahoma State, and I think Will Wade fits that build.
Agreed. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Stay tuned. Get your alerts. We'll have you covered over here on the Big 12 Experience as well as the College Basketball Experience. But I'll tell you who else gets you covered. It's Manscaped, top of the morning. Mm. This episode of the Big 12 College Experience is brought to you by St. Paddy's Day Shamrock Shavers. Manscaped this year, don't chase all those rainbows and make sure you get a pot of gold to groom your little leprechaun with the leaders below kit care, baby. Say goodbye to your clover forest and get over to Manscaped with the Lawnmower 5.0 and let your confidence shine bright. Embrace the luck of the Irish with over 10 million men worldscape who trust Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com, use that code SGPN to get 20% off with free shipping. And you know, it's great. I got my Manscaped tool in there, and you know, the version 5.0 lawnmower also has a little bit of LED light, so you can do it in the dark if you really want to get fancy like Noah Beanick over there. But the main thing is it's painless, it's waterproof, and you know, you can do whatever you want with Manscaped lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, baby. And like I said, trimming the hedges, the luck of the Irish, below the belt, complete the Manscaped signature beard also. So get over there, 20% off and free shipping with the code SGPN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with the free shipping promo code SGPN at manscaped.com. St. Paddy's Day, make sure your little hairy leprechaun is luckier than ever with Manscaped. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research all NBA and soccer with historical stats and data. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft a more intelligent, data-driven parlay. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use that promo code SGPN. Start winning, start researching with Hall of Fame Bets. Shane, we're back on the Big 12 College Experience. I can't control who freaking pays the bills, man. If you don't like it, go find somewhere else. You got, if they're going to be a sponsor, you got to freaking read off the ad. You know, it's just like business in the real world, man. They pay us to freaking read off shaving your balls, shaving your beard, whatever they want me to say. Shit, they can say, go jump off a bridge and I'll go do it. Just kidding. Not really. But, bottom line, man, you gotta read with the companies that sponsor the show. And yeah, so this month happens to be talking about shaving our nuts, shaving our ass. So if you don't like it, oh well, get over it. All right, let's talk some games, Rush. We blabbed enough about last weekend, coaching changes, transfer portal. Let's go to Boston. You love you some
speaking
Boston,
of the Irish.
Right? Yeah. Speaking of the Irish, get over there and bring your manscape to this Illinois-Iowa State game. Illinois is playing Iowa State. Iowa State's laying 1.5. It actually opened at 3, I think. Over-under set at 146. So you have the total contrasted styles here. You have the number one KenPom offense in the Illini. You have the number one KenPom defense in the Iowa State Cyclones. You got Brad Underwood in his first Sweet 16. You got TJ Otzelberger in his second Sweet 16. You got two loyal fan bases. It's actually a really fascinating matchup just with the contrast of you got the explosive offense against the defense that nobody can score on. I know everybody loves Illinois. I know everybody's enamored with Illinois' offense, transition offense, especially led by Terrence Shannon, former Big 12 member at Texas Tech. I'm on Iowa State, first off. I think, by the way, if you want to bet Iowa State, I would just take the money line with it being at 1.5. I think it's at minus 122 or minus 125 in places. But defense over offense, you talked about it, Russ, this time of year. Illinois, they haven't seen a defensive team. They haven't seen this level of physicality in the Big Ten. Also, the Big Ten is a slow league, non-athletic league. Iowa State just brings a different level of physicality. And everybody keeps saying, I don't know if Iowa State can score with Illinois. I think people just have the image of Iowa State against Pitt last year in the tournament or against, who was it, Miami the year before that. Or just they've been outside the top 100 in both those years in offense, adjusted offensive efficiency. This year they're a top 50 offense. They're not the same offensive team that everybody has made them out to be. They do make shots. Keyshawn Gilbert, the transfer. Curtis Jones, the transfer. Obviously, the freshman, the 6'8 freshman, that's a matchup nightmare. Milan Mamakalovic, that I always butcher his name. And then Lipsy. Lipsy's taking his game to another level. He's a fucking bulldog. I thought last game was the game where they played a little tight. They still grinded it out with stops. And also, Illinois is a very high-level ISO team. They like to exploit mismatches, drive it in ISO situations. I don't think you're going to be able to drive the ball one-on-five against their set defense. I don't like the way Illinois' offense matches up against Iowa's disciplined team defense. So I'm on the Cyclones here. How about you, Rush?
The old unstoppable force meets an immovable object. I agree with you. I'm on the immovable object side of it. It's they, when you start seeing one of the best scoring teams get shut down, which Iowa State is more than capable of doing, things start to get frustrated. And, you know, maybe you make a mistake here and there. Maybe you go cold. But when you do that against this Iowa State defense, it starts to bother you. Because then you're like, wait, we're not doing what we do. And then you start getting out of sync, right, Ryan? Then you say you start running ISO, like, and then next thing you know, you're down 10, 15 points. And it is, I mean, I guess you do want a, you know, high offensive team to, if you're down that much to come back on, but I don't see anyone tripping up this Iowa State team yet. I think this thing keeps going. I'm hoping that they win this. Them and UConn would be incredible game. Obviously you got to get there first, but I think my issue too is with Illinois is this, they, especially when they go far in the Big Ten tournament, they usually start to give out. I don't have faith in them long-term. Actually, I thought whoever was going to win the BYU-Duquesne game was going to beat Illinois. And I honestly thought it was, you know, BYU was going to do it. I'm all on Iowa State here. And you're right with Lipsy. I mean, I remember watching him play at the Coliseum last year. And that guy, they let him shoot all day. And he couldn't make it. And now he's like, you better watch out for him. His improvement has just been incredible. So excellent job with Iowa State. Let's see it keep going. Cause you're right. This isn't the Iowa State team played Pitt last year. It took us a second to recognize it too. Now, because it is March Madness this time of year, now you're getting the mainstream focus on this Iowa State. And they still have that afterthought in them. So people are finally coming on to what we finally realized, you know, 6 weeks ago. Kennedy though is on Illinois.
He likes the Illini.
Yes,
the Illini, baby. Over under set at 146. We usually don't pick the over under set, but since we're such a small slate, I like under. Like I said,
I'm going under too.
I think Iowa State will keep meta transition. Give me Iowa State 76.
I'll go
72-60. All righty. So we're both on the Cyclones, both on the under. Let's fucking go.
Well, I think the play here is if you're on the Illini, you take the over. If you're on the Cyclones, you take the under.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Isn't that basically what this is saying?
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, it's like you said, it's the unstoppable force meets the immovable object. And I'm always taking defense in those scenarios.
The weekend you take them. Yep.
Yeah. Well, especially when the defense has multiple days to prepare. So they're going to drill transition defense, find Shannon. They're going to have three guys running at Shannon all fucking day. So let's go. Cyclones. This one's easy. Duke is taking on Houston. Houston's only leg four. First thought was I thought that was a little short, but it makes sense with the overreaction to recency bias. Duke just played the game of the year for themselves. They made 15 threes. Proctor, McCain, Roach. I've seen some people claim that their backcourt's better than Houston's. Versus Shed, Cryer, Sharp. This game's in Dallas, Texas. Houston is coming off a game where they should have lost. I mean, anytime you allow 50 free throws, who wins when they allow 50 free throws? Nobody. Who wins when they have 4 out of 5 fucking starters fouled out? That's not going to – I guess if the referees dictate the tempo or dictate the way this game is going to play, then Duke could hang around. If they let them play, it'll be Tennessee all over again next year, and Houston will wipe the floor with them. I think it's most likely going to be that because I think Kelvin's going to be on the officials from the get-go. This isn't Coach K on the other sideline, so Shire doesn't demand that same whistle, in my opinion, that Coach K did for all these years. I think it's a matchup nightmare for Duke. I don't see how they respond to the physicality. Filipowski hates any physicality. I mean, he can't even get off the floor on a court storm. How's he going to fucking handle the Houston bigs? I think Houston chokes him out, just like they did with every single high-profile team. This is going to be a home game for Houston, by the way, too. They've already talked about the tickets sold. It's going to be a sea of red. Every time Houston played a high-profile team, Kansas at home, Texas at home, Duke's in that same company. I think Houston chokes them out, wins by 15-20. Statement game from that veteran team against the talented team. They're going to make, instead of making 14 or 15 threes, Duke will go back to making 6 or 7 threes and they'll teach those young guards from Duke a lesson. Domination. Let's go.
Gosh, I hope you're right. I don't have a good feeling about this game. I think this game's going to be a lot closer. I agree with everything you said, Ryan. Because of everything that happened on Sunday, I for some reason, I feel like Houston's just going to come out to a, I know they've had the rest, but I just feel, I have this feeling Houston's going to come out a little slow and Duke's going to kind of give it to them. I think Houston comes back in this game. And I do think Houston finds a way to survive this game. And then they move on to the Elite Eight. Here's how I say Houston in these two games this weekend. I definitely think they're still my favorite to make the Final Four. I picked them as the national champion. I still think that's going to happen. But I think either this game or the Elite Eight game, one, they're going to blow the team out. And the other one, it's going to be a lot closer. I think what we saw last weekend and everything you said, it would make more sense, right, for this to be the game where Houston blows them out. More than likely, Marquette is going to beat the 11 seed NC State. They're going to run out of guests, and then the Marquette-Houston game will kind of be that grinded out just game. And I think that definitely makes the most sense. But I don't know why that this Duke line is just – it's bothering me for some reason. I'm going to take the points with Duke. Houston finds a way to win this game, and then I think because of their defense and the quick turnaround, whoever wins that NC State Marquette game, I think that's when Houston really gives it to them, and then they're in the Final Four. So I'll go over the 134.5 for that reason too. But man, I hope you're right, Ryan. I'm more than fine being wrong on this one. My gut hurts on this one. I don't know why. But Kennedy's taking Duke as well. So there you go, Ryan. Nice Houston Island.
There you go, baby. Let's go. And here's how I feel really good. I've been listening to all these shows just because there's only a couple games. And everybody's like, who's the one seed that could go down this weekend? I think every single analyst, maybe one or two have said Purdue. But it's everybody says it's fucking Houston. And everybody's like, oh, the other ones are going to be blowouts, which means – the other three ones are going to be a close one, and this is going to be the blowout.
Sure, you're Kelvin's probably
gonna,
right.
Kelvin's going to have their boys ready. I do agree with you, though, Rush, that one of these two games is going to be the barn burner. I think it's the Elite Eight game. I think Marquette, I think most likely it's going to be Marquette. I think I already talked about it on the college basketball show. This is usually when Cinderella dies out, the Sweet 16. So I think if they play a team like Marquette, that's a interesting matchup just because of the unique style with all those ball screens. I think they could give Houston some fits. But yeah, no, I got 65. I got that 70-55 in my head. They just choke them out. Choke them out. Phil Pawlowski just fucking cries the whole fucking night, flops around. Let's go Cougs. Let's go Cougs by a million. Let's go.
Cougs.
Big 12 honorary member. Soon to be Big 12 member. The Arizona Wildcats. Clemson's taking on Arizona. This is the first game in LA. I thought this line was a little high, to be honest, initially.
Troy 7.5.
I think it's a bait to take Clemson. I think Arizona, home crowd here, obviously in LA. I think they get out in transition. They have more dynamic guards. Caleb Love. Boswell, I think they wear down the unathletic Clemson backcourt with Gerard. I know Tyson's been playing better, but I also think that they're going to be – I also think P.J. Hall is going to struggle against scoring oversized at the rim. So give me Arizona to blow this thing open in the second half, win by 15. I just like the way this Arizona team has formed over the last couple weeks. Give me the Wildcats.
I think Arizona's going to kill them. I think, and hey, hats off to Clemson, because even though they're the sixth seed, they were the underdog in both games, right?
Yep.
And they, hey, you know, you got to give them credit. They beat the Big 12, and everyone in the world had Mexico, and they beat New Mexico. So Clemson, I as much as I can't stand them, you got to give credit where credit's due. This is the Arizona, you know, come alive game. I think this is not even very close till 10 minutes left in the first half. I think Arizona takes it from there. I could see this game being like 83-58. I'm taking the under because I just think Arizona, like, I don't think Clemson scores enough points for the over to, you know, have a chance. I think Arizona just wipes the floor with them. I'm all over the Wildcats.
I think I agree with you. I think I like another under. I think it's three unders for me.
We're kind of getting to that under time of the year.
Yeah. Real quick, Rush, I know we got to get out of here. Everybody knows my picks. I'll just go rapid fire for you. Who do you got? San Diego State, UConn. UConn's laying 11.
We'll go UConn. That's a rematch, right? National championship
rematch?
Yeah,
national title game. Yeah. National title game.
I'll go UConn.
It's in Boston. Bama, yeah. Carolina. Carolina's laying 4.
I'll go Bama.
Roll
Are we going spreads or outright?
I was just doing, if you want to say outright, go ahead. I'm just making sure people have your picks. Everybody knows my picks and they're on the picks page. So I wanted to throw you picks for.
Oh, we're going out right here. Let's have some fun. Let's live life.
Yeah, hey, I'm with you, man. Nobody's got Bama over Carolina. That's the one nobody's talking about. Bama's going to make a bunch of three. Chalk the Tar
Heels. Bama's going to do well now. LA. They were supposed to be the favorite last year. Now it's quiet. They're flying under the radar.
The year after the year, baby. NC State Marquette laying 6.5.
Marquette, but I think NC State's going to surprise. I think Marquette's going to take over late. I think NC State, now that they've had time to rest, I think they're actually going to make a little bit of a game out of it.
I like it. Purdue's laying 5.5 against Gonzaga. They played in Maui earlier this year. Zags. I like it.
Zags outright. Yeah, outright. Everything's like outright.
Creighton, Tennessee. Tennessee's laying 2.5.
Tennessee.
Rocky Top. I think we agreed on 6 out of the 8. So real quick before we get up on out of here, everybody that's asked in the chat, I'm on High Point against Seattle. So is Rush because his wife went there. I didn't even have to ask him.
Let's go.
Who's your lock for the weekend? Who's your lock?
I like a good lock. The lock. Oh yeah. Lock. I'll go. Oof. Does Arizona count?
You can give out Arizona. They're going to be in the Big 12 here in 3 months.
There you go.
Arizona minus 7.5 for Rush. Houston, it was my lock on Sunday night.
There you go.
Team that struggled on Sunday night versus a team that played out of their mind. Home team, better coach, better culture, tougher. Cougs by 20 over the Dukies. We are the Big 12 College Experience. We'll be back on the College Basketball Experience later tonight. Subscribe to the College Football Experience. Subscribe to the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am at Moneyline_Mac. He is at Rambling Rush. We are the Big 12 College Experience, and we are out of here.
Iowa State, Houston, Arizona. Parlay them. That's our dog.
Yeah, I like that idea.
There you go. The dog parlay. It's worked well for us so far.
All the unders.
Yeah.